So what would Christmas be without Mary and Joseph? I guess that would be a good title for it. What would it be like? As I said, Luke's gospel gives us the most information on Mary. And of course, next Sunday, Lord be willing, we'll look at the life of Joseph, and we'll have to go to the book of Matthew for that story. So, what would it be like without Mary and Joseph? Well, it would be completely a silent night, wouldn't it? It really would be. By the way, that silent night song was good. I like the silence between, where it could just listen to the music and contemplate and think about this time of year. It's just nice.
That's what I like about that version.
Yeah, it's nice. Just really think about it, meditate it. That was nice. There'd have been no mother and child in the Bethlehem stable. We know nothing of this wonderful woman, nor of the noble man to whom God entrusted his son. What a beautiful story, the Christmas story. And I can tell you, it's not just a story. It's fact. It's true in every detail. It's true. People tend to go to extremes where Mary's concerned. She's either revered to the extent that Jesus has to take a back seat. Now, you know where I'm going with this. Do you know that she's also revered, even by some faith, that she's a co-redemptrix with Jesus? Do you know what that means? You can pray to her to have your sins forgiven. That's what that means. Co-redemptrix. Well, I can tell you she's not a co-redemptrix. I can tell you she's an ordinary woman, ordinary young girl, born in a sinful world, just like you and me. So she's not a co-redemptrix. They also believe that she never had any more children besides Jesus, and that's not true either. She went on to mother more sons and daughters. It's also believed in the assumption of Mary. That's another fancy word. Everybody know what that means? That she resurrected just like Jesus. So that's the part I'm making plain and clear today. Some have revered her to the point that Jesus takes a back seat. Then, there's the other end of it. She's also undeservedly ignored. And so today I want to try to strike a balance. Highly favored. Boy, let man take it and you can see what kind of a mess he makes with it. How did he get all that highly favored, blessed among women? That's where they get it. That's where they take it from. Was she blessed? Sure she was. But I can tell you that God chose her just because he wanted to choose her. That was his choice. He knows each and every one of us. You know what he knew about her? She was very humble. She was a very humble young girl. Now, she was in Nazareth. And as I was preparing this message on Mary, I thought about the village of Nazareth. It's interesting that John the Baptist was also in a small village, much like Jesus. But Nazareth, what do we know about Nazareth? Well, when I was in Israel, we were able to, there was a walking path. Of course, everywhere in Israel there was olive trees, but there were some olive trees along this path that we were walking through, a place called Nazareth. There was a little synagogue there, probably dating back to the time in Nazareth, but there's just this section, and I'm going to say it might be the area of Nazareth that is actually designated for tourists to come to. Is probably about, if I were to make a guess, maybe four or five times the size of this church. And then like every place else, if you look anywhere else, there's just houses upon houses upon houses stacked beside one another. And then you see this opening, and this is Nazareth. Much like any place else you go. Much like the Alamo in Texas, there's this whole building with the skyscrapers behind it. So this is where it was in Nazareth. So anyway, what I was saying, when Nazareth came to my mind, I believe it was Nathaniel that spoke up and said something like, can anything good come from Nazareth? Do you remember reading that? And Nathaniel said, can anything good come from Nazareth? Of course, referring to Jesus coming from Nazareth. So evidently, Nazareth was a little bit of a riffraff town, a little riffraff village, obviously, or Nathaniel wouldn't have probably said that. But anyway, this is the place where Mary came from. This is where Joseph found Mary. Found her in Nazareth. So if you have your Bibles, I want to show you where I'm getting this material from. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. In the sixth month. Now, in those days, they didn't have names like we have. Like, this is the month of December. They didn't name the month. They numbered them. They numbered the months. So where did the names of the months come from? It was actually began and established when they went into captivity into Babylon. And that's where they began to name their months while they were in Babylonian captivity. And so, but till then, it was just the months were only numbered. And so that's why it says in the sixth month. Well, if we look at the verse before that, we know that Elizabeth, it was the fifth month for her. And so the next verse, it says it's the sixth month. And the angel Gabriel. Do you know that there's only four angels mentioned in the Bible by name? There's only four angels named in the Bible by name. Does anybody know what they are? Here we have one, Gabriel. What's the other one? Michael. And what's the other two? We have two good angels and two bad angels are mentioned. Starts with an L. Lucifer, and I didn't know the other one either. It's written in Revelation, Abaddon. I guess that's how it's pronounced. Is that right? Abaddon? That's the angel of the bottomless pit. Those are the only four angels mentioned by name in the scriptures. Two good angels, two bad angels. Okay. She wasn't just a young woman. She's generally assumed to be how old? Does anyone know? Close. 15. 50 or 16. That's close. But she was a virgin. So the first thing we want to talk about Mary, the first word you want to put down, I'm going to have 10 of them. She was pure. Mary was pure. She's never had any sexual relationships. Very true from the context. And as often as it's mentioned, it was wanting to be clear to everybody that reads it. Why? Because she was going to give birth to the Son of God. That's how important it was. She would be giving birth to Jesus. Second one, I'm going to use the same word. She was pure despite her engagement. She was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. By the way, they were both from the house of David. Both Joseph and Mary. That's important because Jesus prophesied that he had to come of the house of David. Prophecy had to be fulfilled. And so they were both of the house of David. Engagement is a great deal more at that time than it does now. The engagement period lasted for 1 year. It was just as binding as marriage. It can only be annulled through divorce. The couple was already considered husband and wife. They didn't move in together till after the wedding feast. And a relationship outside of this arrangement was considered to be adultery. The second thing we find about Mary is she was humble. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." This is Gabriel. Mary received grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor, because she was humble. Humility means not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. Romans 12:3. We just had a study on that in our Bible study. We just talked about that. Being humble. God gives grace to the humble. According to James 4:6. And by the way, James is a half-brother of Jesus. James. It was this James, the one I'm quoting from. Was a half-brother to Jesus. Mary was undoubtedly humble. She received the very essence of God's grace, which was Jesus. Wow. That song's amazing. When she kissed him, she kissed the face of God. I just can't get that out of my head. I just love it. It's just amazing to me. Kissing the face of God. I liked your prayer, by the way, Elroy. I haven't seen him, haven't touched him, but yet, faith is believing on that. And someday, you know, we'll be able to. You know, I was thinking about just a couple days ago. Now, the Bible says we'll be known as we're known here. That means we're going to know one another, right? Now, here's an interesting thought. Will I know Abraham or Moses? Hey, there goes Abraham. I don't know. I would assume that we would be able to, but I don't know. There's nothing in Scripture to verify that. I'll know one another as I see you, but will I know Moses, Abraham, Elijah, Daniel, all these wonderful, great men? Wow. I don't know. Just the thought occurred to me. Just gave a thought. Okay. Number three. Four, Mary was blessed. We use pure twice, so if you're counting, we'll be 10 of them. Mary was blessed. Verse 28 is where I'm getting at. The Lord is with her. Blessed art thou among women. There again, when man gets it, look what he does with it. Made her bigger and better than what she should have been made. Because I'm going to get to the next one. The next word. God bestowed a generous gift upon her. She had accomplished one of the most difficult tasks. And God chose her simply because he wanted her. And the next one, Mary was ordinary. She was ordinary. She wasn't as special as some have made her to be. But she was still special. Don't misunderstand me. But she was ordinary. God chose her because she was ordinary. You know, if when you think about the people that Jesus chose, it's interesting. He chose ordinary people. Fishermen. Ordinary people. It's amazing. He certainly could have chosen highly educated and skilled people. He could have. Why didn't he? Because he wanted ordinary people. Ordinary. Today you should feel you're ordinary. And with God you can be extraordinary. But today we're ordinary. With God you can be extraordinary. How's that? I just made that one up. Alright. Moving on. Mary was delivered. Mary said to the angel, "How would this be? Since I'm a virgin." Verse 34, if you're following your Bible, show you where we're getting this. How will this be since I'm a virgin? The purity, the Bible speaks of it many different places, especially in the book of Leviticus. Purity. Purity during the engagement period. She was still pure through that whole year. Another thing that we can learn about Mary, she was resolute. 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 Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verse 38. Now, I want you to consider what this meant for this young lady. Illegitimate pregnancy. Shame. Scorn. Possibly being punished or shunned by others. No wedding feast. No congratulations. No gifts. Yet she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Wow. Willing to take on the consequences, whatever they may be. Whatever they may be. She wasn't looking at the unforeseeable consequences. Of course she wasn't. She was living a life of faith. As we do. The unbelief of one woman, Eve, brought the world to ruin through sin and death. But the faith of the other, Mary, brought forth the world's Redeemer over sin and death. And then we find another thing Mary did. Mary took action. She took action. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 39 and 40. Now I got some information on where Mary went to visit. For Mary, this would have been a trip of 100 miles. All uphill. All uphill. For the village that John the Baptist lived in, the word for it would have been Kerem, K-E-R-E-M. Kerem is the village where John was raised. The elevation is 2,400 feet, and Nazareth was 1,100. So there's a difference of 1,300 feet all uphill. Did Joseph accompany her? I don't know. It doesn't say that he did. It would have been a mountainous area. It would have been a bad area for passing, for traveling. Thieves would have done lots of things in this particular area of passage. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. It's not clear whether Joseph... I doubt whether he would have left her go alone, but I'm not sure. Some books... Sir said that he's possible that he could have accommodated her at least till Jerusalem, and maybe he had business there to take care of because he was a contractor. Who knows? It's just speculation. Luke doesn't say it. Luke simply says Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. What happened to Zechariah when the angel told him what was going to happen? What happened to him? He was dumb. He couldn't speak. In fact, he couldn't speak for the whole 9-month period. Why is that? Because he said, "How are we going to do that? We're too old to have any children." And God struck him dumb because of his unbelief. "We're too old to have any children." That's what he said when the angel spoke to him. So he was struck dumb. Mary immediately acted on the angel's remark about Elizabeth's pregnancy. There she could find refuge. There Mary could find a listening ear and certainly an understanding heart with Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was the only one who would believe her since her husband had experienced something similar with an angel as well. And then we see another thing about Mary, she was thankful. Mary said, "My soul magnifies," and this begins what is referred to as magnificent. There is somewhere around 15 prophecies, Old Testament prophecies. Yes, 15 Old Testament quotations in just these 10 verses that Mary begins to praise the Lord. "My soul magnifies the Lord," verse 46, if you're following now. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior," verse 47, "for he has looked on the humble estate state of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, verse 48. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, verse 49. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Verse 50, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Verse 51, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. I'm thinking of who she might have thought about. Brought down the mighty from their thrones. You know who she's probably referring to and who she would be familiar with reading about? King Nebuchadnezzar. That's probably who she's referring to. She said he brings kings down from their thrones. She probably is referring to King Nebuchadnezzar, who was brought off his throne. Remember when he walked out in his court or his porch and said, look at this great city my hands have done. And that's when the Lord struck him. He became like an animal and ate grass like an animal. God knows how to abase and knows how to raise up. I think she probably was referring to this king. Has brought down the mighty and exalted those of humble estate. Of course, she's referring to herself. Verse 52, has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. Verse 53, has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 54, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Verse 55, wow. Incredible knowledge Mary has. You know she evidently studied God's word very much because she has such an incredible knowledge because it's revealed here in her song of praise and thanksgiving where over 15 quotations from the Old Testament you can find in these 10 verses. She praises God's mercy in what he does for her. Verses 46 through 49, she praises God's mercy for what he does for us. Verses 50 through 53, and for what God does, his mercy for Israel, for 54 and 55. And lastly, Mary was courageous. Mary remained with her about 3 months longer. Then she returned to her home. Okay? So do the math. She was Elizabeth was 5 months. Then it was 6 months when the angel came and gave the annunciation of Jesus to Mary. That's 6 months. Then she stayed for how many more months? How many months does that make? 9. She stayed to see John being born. She stayed to see the birth of John the Baptist. That's why she stayed 3 months. So it's not rocket science. She stayed 3 months. She returned to her home. She left it all to God. What could she expect at home? What would her family say? What would Joseph say? And so that then leads us to her room, which we'll follow up, Lord willing, next Sunday. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today, and I just want to make sure. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? It's what he came. Every one of us needs a Savior. Even Mary needed one. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. And I invite you to come and live in my heart. And I want to live from you, for you, the rest of this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, you can know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're going to be watching this by way of the online, I pray that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you'll do so. You'll invite him to come and live in your heart. You might be able to stand, it's time to go home. Father in heaven, thank you for our day. Thank you for each and every one who's been able to be here today in attendance. I pray, Father, that your word will find place in each of our hearts as we contemplate this time of year. Your greatest gift was you. And we thank you and we praise you for all that you do and will continue. And I pray that your blessing now upon each and every one as they leave this place. And we'll come back again next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.